I love the state fair because everywhere you look, there's a story.
From Capital Broadcasting Company, this is WRAL Out and About. I am your host, Kathy Hanrahan. I'm here with Ashley Roddy. Hey, Ashley.
Hello.
This is a podcast about everything fun happening in the Triangle, and we are getting spooky and scary and all that fun stuff for October, and we're continuing our ghost theme.
I know you weren't excited
here for the Ghost Guild.
Well, I got to meet them, and they attempted to locate some spirits.
We did.
And
we tried.
I was in the room as they recorded potential spiritual activity.
They were asking a lot of questions, and you know, they were like, let's just backpedal for a second. Last week, Ghost Guild was on the podcast. Ashley's boss had an incident where something like broke. It was like a whiteboard like broke in the middle of the night. It was very strange. The manufacturers were like, someone had to have run into it. And she's like, there's no way. It had to have been early morning.
Well, and the thing is, it didn't happen to anyone else.
No.
Like a bunch of other people in the office have the same exact setup. Why?
Nothing
was
happened.
Why was it just her?
It was just her. It was very awkward. She was very afraid. And we had the Ghost Guild go in there and ask some questions. And they were like, why did you break the whiteboard? And the ghost, of course, didn't answer. Like, you know, they had the recorder just in case, and then the ghost would answer. But her office is also next to the bathroom. So at one point, they were like, do you try and send a message? And I'm telling you, you just heard a toilet flush.
Yeah.
And they of course, mentioned it on the recording. They're like, toilet flushing. And then they go, footsteps. And then you see the poor person who had been in the bathroom just walking past the office, and you're like, so sorry, you were not the ghost that did that. We did not discover who broke the whiteboard, but we're continuing our theme of, like, spooky stuff. We've got somebody who is just a WRAL icon. He is someone who you will know the minute you hear his voice. I feel like we should be playing your theme music. Do you get the theme music all the time?
Oh, here comes my voice.
Scott Mason, the Tar Heel Traveler. Do you get people asking you about the music all the time?
They do. And, you know, that music was kind of an afterthought. I don't think the person who put that music together even thought about it. But you know who that person was?
Who?
Bill Leslie.
Of course.
Yeah, he's the one who came up with the theme music, and now it's, you know, people hear the little jingle at the beginning of each story, and they run right to the TV.
They know it's you. That's the thing. They know it's you. So it's so funny because you have this voice that is very recognizable, and you've got, like, the music and everything with it. But you've done, usually in October, I expect to see a lot of ghost stories.
Yeah, we usually, you know, we have done more than 50 Tar Heel Traveler ghost stories in the past decade.
What in the world?
Now, my dream.
I know. So we wanted to kind of talk with you about some of your more memorable experiences and some of the stories you've worked on. And of course, we want to preview, you've got a special coming up at the end of the month that talks about, what is it, houses?
Yeah, on October 28th, it's a Monday night at 7 p.m., where you're doing a whole half-hour Tar Heel Traveler story on wacky houses. I mean, houses made of bottles and the mosaic house and a weird castle, and it's really a compelling, funny, sort of entertaining half hour.
That's really funny. I grew up in, like, Hope Mills, Fayetteville area, and I always would drive by this house that was perfectly cylindrical.
Yeah.
Like, on its side, it was just it looked like a soup can that someone had knocked over, and it was purple.
Yeah.
Like, I wonder if did you get to that house?
Well, we didn't get to that one.
I don't know if it's still around.
But we've gotten to many sort of along the same lines.
Yeah.
Like the Futuro house. It's like this spaceship on the Outer Banks.
Oh, my
gosh. Yeah, and this man actually owns it and had lived in there. Now it's become a tourist attraction.
Wow. I love that.
So how did you decide to do houses this time around? Like, what, you just had been to so many really great ones. You're like, man, houses are really starting to be unusual.
I think what sort of triggered it is just recently we did a story on this barn in the town of Middlesex. And the woman had covered the whole barn with skillets, frying pans, and hung them all over the barn. And and somebody had told me about this, sent me a picture, and I'm like, well, that's kind of interesting. But they didn't know the person's name or phone number. So We happened to be driving by that area, just pulled up, and there was the lady outside. And I'm like, hey, I'm with a television station. Do you mind if we do a story on your skillet barn? And she was fantastic. Was a tremendous interview, and told me all about the skillets, and like each one had a story. But it was sort of a broader story too. You know, she talked about the simple life and simpler times, and so we did that story. And then the photographer and I got to thinking about it, and we're like, well, gosh, we've done so many wacky houses over the years. We ought to do a half-hour show. You know, we do these shows each quarter, every 3 months. Mm-hmm. And so that theme just kind of landed in our lap.
Wow. I just can't imagine a skillet house.
I know.
That's just unusual. And it's very lucky you were able to find it.
Well, and like...
and get her to cooperate.
I mentioned the house in Durham we did a couple of years ago called the Mosaic House. And what that is this guy... took all these little pieces of glass and basically glued them to his house, but also made designs within the house and on his garage. It's very creative. It's incredibly creative. And he's just this funny guy. And he's, you know, one of his great lines in the story is, you know, everything is made for us. Our clothes, our food, our houses. Well, I didn't want to have just a generic house. I wanted to have it my own. And so he created his own personality by having the Mosaic House.
That's amazing. You must meet a lot of really fun people in your job.
I do. And, you know, they say everybody has a story. And they do. Even the people you wouldn't think would have a story have a story.
I feel like we get little nuggets of like the quote, because you have these great quotes in your video packages. You know, I watch a Tar Heel Traveler story, and you just have these, and it just seems like it comes so natural.
Well,
after doing this so long, as long as you have, right?
I tell you, I've been in TV for 35 years, and I strain over every story. I mean, they may look so seamless on
effortless.
TV.
It looks effortless. It really does.
Yeah, but no, you sometimes do have to work the stories and make them flow and that kind of thing. And I mean, 9 times out of 10, the people are very good and good interviews, but you do find yourself editing out, you know, and well, and ah, and and
to get
all
those,
that.
Boom.
To get it. And sometimes you do have to dig for the core of the story, you know, to get the broader picture.
Nice. Well, you've also done a lot of stories, kind of ghost stories. And so I wanted to kind of pick your brain a little bit, because I know you've covered so many, like Devil's Tramping Ground and the Pink Lady. And so tell me some of your more ghostly stories.
Well, you've mentioned two of the most popular. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Devil's Tramping Ground was very memorable. That's this supposedly perfect circle out in the middle of the woods in Chatham County. And Robert, the photographer I work with, he and I distinctly remember this. We're out there on a late Friday afternoon one day, 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We're finally doing the story on the Devil's Tramping Ground. What that supposedly perfect circle is, and it's a circle where nothing has grown within that circle for hundreds of years, not a blade of grass, which is very odd because there's grass and stuff growing all around outside of it, but within that perfect circle, nothing grows. Mm-hmm. And the theory is that the devil uses that circle to tramp around and plot and scheme. So we're out there on a Friday afternoon. Well, the supposedly perfect circle is kind of raggedy, and there's beer bottles everywhere, and it's kind of a little party scene, mm-hmm. I think, for teenagers or whatever. But I was kind of worried, you know, what are we going to shoot? I mean, there's, you know, in TV, you have to worry about the pictures to marry them with the words. And there's just a bunch of forest and that kind of thing. But Robert was very ingenious in the way he eventually edited the story and came up with some very creative ways to illustrate the story.
Oh, yeah.
And
I remember
the devil
that.
And that kind of thing. But as a sidelight, while we were shooting that story that late Friday, you know, it was very quiet. We're sort of in the woods. But a couple of very interesting things happened to us. While Robert's shooting in the woods, he swore that he kind of ambled into this swarm of bees. Mm. There were bees buzzing everywhere around his head. And he looked up, and there were no bees. And then at one point, he needed a camera battery. So he asked me to hike back to the car to get him a camera battery. So I walked back through the little trail. And at this one point in the trail, I swear, I felt like 1,000 red ants were on my back.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was at this one little spot. And I took about 2 steps forward, and the red ants disappeared. And I thought, well, that's odd.
That's so weird.
And I took 2 steps back, and the red ants were on my back again. Oh, my gosh. Well, I went and got the camera battery, came back to that exact spot in the trail. There were the red ants again.
That's so weird.
Isn't that weird?
That's just weird.
It was bizarre.
I can't imagine.
I'll always remember that.
Yeah, it's definitely a place you didn't want to hang out too long.
Yeah, yeah. But there have been so many other stories. One ghost story was the library in Morehead City, the public library. And I'd heard rumors of it being haunted, so we went one day, interviewed the librarian, who was a very down-to-earth New Englander who had been living in Morehead City, and she swore the place was haunted. She would come in very often the next morning, and the plugs into the outlets, the plugs themselves would be pulled halfway out of the outlets.
That's weird.
Out of every outlet in the whole library.
That takes a lot of time.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, like,
I mean, it wasn't like
they weren't
plugged all the way in or taken all the way out. They were sort of halfway. Also, at one point, she came in and the ceiling light, it was one of the standard light bulbs, you know, the old type of light bulbs, had fallen and was standing on the rug. But, you know, those light bulb, a light bulb can't stand on its own.
It's
rounded, so it falls over. But this was standing up, magically.
That's spooky.
That's weird.
And then, of course, many times the books are off the shelves. And, you know, you think, well, that's crazy. But this lady was so down to earth, the director of the library. Very similarly, one of our stories that got the most feedback, our ghost stories, was a restaurant called the Country Squire in Duplin County near the town of Warsaw. The Country Squire, boy, you should go to that restaurant. It's really interesting. Just the decor. It's sort of like an old English pub. It's very dark wood, and there's a full suit of armor when you walk in. And they're famous for their 72-ounce steak called the Kilt Buster.
Oh, man.
But anyway.
Sounds like my kind of
party. That's why the ghost, why the ghosts would go there. They were looking for that steak.
The woman who has run the restaurant for years is from Scotland, and she has the Scottish accent. But she, too, very down to earth, she swears the restaurant is haunted. She talks about one night where they have a dartboard in one of the dining rooms, and the darts just all of a sudden flew off the dartboard.
Wow.
I mean, flew like a couple hundred feet and landed on the floor. And that has happened more than once. And then the tables are held by chains that are bolted to the ceiling. It's just kind of part of the decor.
Yeah.
And the chains very often just rattle all of a sudden on their own. And many other instances. There was a wedding party that was having a reception, and one of the ladies in the wedding party was having her picture taken. And just before the picture snapped, the lady all of a sudden turned. And the photographer's like, wondering, well, you just messed up your picture. Why'd you turn? And she said, oh my gosh, there's a little girl. There's a little girl right beside me. But nobody saw the
girl. Nobody
saw
the girl, just her.
But in the picture, there is an image of a little girl.
Oh,
yeah, there's
no.
That kind of creepy thing.
Now, we're going to link up. Now, we will link up. We'll put the links below so people can see these videos and they can and go through your stories, because I'm sure you have so many of them. But
yeah,
this is creepy.
Oh, I know it is. But the lady tells it with a sense of humor. I mean, she says all the time, women will, you know, go to the restroom and they'll come back and they'll say to the owner, do you have a ghost in this restaurant? I swear somebody was following me, but I looked back and there was nobody there. And, so many other stories. You mentioned the Pink Lady.
Yeah, that was one of the memorable ones that you've done.
Yeah, at the Grove Park Inn. In this certain room, I want to say it's like room 245 or room 254.
It's in the older part
section that guests routinely talk about weird occurrences in that room. I mean, nothing overly spooky, just strange, where... I remember this one couple was staying there with their young son, and the boy's like, "Mommy, Daddy, there's the Pink Lady. There's the Pink Lady. I can see her. She's rubbing my head." And the parents are like, "What are you talking about?" And only afterward did they hear and learn the story of the lady dressed in pink who supposedly died while she was staying at the Grove Park Inn, but remains in the hotel floating around, and specifically in that room. All kinds of things.
Yeah, and she's been spotted, I think, all over the property, too, because I know we're trying to plan a trip to go and look for the Pink Lady.
Yeah.
But it's really, just to get to that part of the building is really interesting.
Yeah, it's the older part of the building where the floors creak, but the rooms have a lot of character,
though.
They do,
but getting to that part, it's like you have to get in, like, this crazy old, like, elevator.
Yeah,
it's like inside of like a fireplace or something.
Well, we actually did a story on the elevator. It is built within the chimney, like within the fireplace. Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's wild.
It's those old-timey elevators with the with kind of that steel cage that you have to pull
and
back
and have the
and
person
forth.
That operates it for you and then you go down there and you're like, "Oh."
I will say the common denominator with these 50 plus ghost stories that we've done is that the people are so believable. I mean, they are really down to earth. They often tell their stories with great humor, and that humor actually makes the stories believable. I mean, they are convinced there are ghosts. I mean, another good one is the USS North Carolina, the battleship docked in Wilmington.
I've been on it.
The night watchman is convinced there is a ghost aboard that ship, and he's the night watchman. I mean, he hears all kinds of weird things. He'll hear a television all of a sudden pop on in the middle of the night, you know, and he hears doors slamming and all these strange noises. He hears laughter and footsteps.
Creepy.
Yeah.
Well, the Ghost Guild, they actually mentioned that when we were talking with them last week. They rent out the battleship twice a year so that they can, and it's always at nights when they have fireworks. Because they said the fireworks mimic like bombs going off, so that this, whatever the activity, it's like whatever's energy's on that ship kind of remembers what happened, and they start to, it becomes very active. They said they've seen beds just shaking and moving. They've had all kinds of crazy stuff, but they invite the public actually to come out and go with them.
Yeah.
So you could actually stay with them for a whole night doing an investigation on the ship.
My goodness, New Year's.
Yeah.
You know,
we
know what we're doing.
It does make you think. It really does. And you could say, well, this is just all baloney. I mean, you know, these are just can't be true. But I tell you, you look into the eyes of the people that I interview, and you come away thinking, well, maybe there is something to us. Although I will say, I haven't really heard about any evil ghosts, necessarily evil ghosts. These are kind of spirits, supposedly, that want something or that linger because of something, maybe some unfinished business. But for the most part, they are not harmful and in some cases even merry and funny.
Where are some other places that you can think of that maybe people could go visit?
Ghost stories? Well, there's a haunted house. There's several haunted houses that I've done. There's the one in New Bern, I think it's called the Atway House, or that's part of the name, I know. That has a story to it. There's a house in Kinston that is supposedly haunted, and they've had paranormal investigators come. And those paranormal guys were there when we were there, and they had all their electronic equipment, and they're trying to hear voices and all that kind of thing. Well, okay. So we go back to the station, and a week or two later, I'm putting together the story, and I'm listening to the sound. And our microphones picked up an unusual sound. I don't know
what it was. It wasn't a toilet flushing, was it?
It sounded like voices to me. Similarly, the Mordecai House in Raleigh is supposedly haunted. Mm-hmm. And they've had many paranormal investigators there. And I, same thing, putting together the story. What is that stray voice, you know? It's kind of interesting.
Wow. How do you find your stories? Because you have these amazing stories. And people, I just feel like you've traveled all over the state. You've met so many different people. How do you continue to find things?
Well, yeah, we're on four nights a week, Monday through Thursday nights at 5:55. And at the beginning of the Tar Heel Traveler, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, am I going to be able to fill all those slots week after week, year after year? I mean, this is our 13th season, and we have aired 2,000 Tar Heel Traveler stories.
Oh,
I know, can you believe it?
So many.
Well, I have 10,000 story ideas I haven't gotten to, and that's really no exaggeration.
Wow.
I bet I have 10,000 sheets of paper in my file cabinets of stories I haven't been able to get to. And most of the time, people email me. It's not unusual for me to receive, say, half a dozen story ideas in a day.
Wow.
And day after day, you know, they add up. So emails definitely is the main way I find out about story ideas, but it never fails. We'll go to shoot a story, and while shooting a story, I'll find out about 2, 3, 4, 5 other stories.
Yeah.
So I'll write the story ideas down and put them in my file, and the next time we're in that area, well, there's a few more to add to the list.
Wow.
It's a never-ending supply in North Carolina. And what a state to do this kind of work in. The variety of stories, the variety of the topography. I mean, the coast, the mountains, the north, the south. I could be doing Tar Heel Traveler stories for the next 50 years and never run out. Yeah,
that's amazing.
It really is. And I'm always excited about a great story. And there's always a great story.
Absolutely. So, let me ask this. Are there any towns that you've been to that just the whole place feels kind of haunted? Because, like, I'll go to downtown Hillsboro, get pizza or something, and then leave the restaurant at, like, 11 and start walking through it and be like, oh, it feels like it could get a little spooky out here.
It's interesting to see that there are certain towns. You know, I mentioned Kinston, and I do feel like there's kind of a weird aura. Although Kinston is, I mean, it's a great town. You got the chef and the farmer there, and a little the little boutique hotel that's opened, and Mother Earth Brewery. But yeah, I always do kind of feel like maybe Kinston is haunted. Another interesting town is in the western part of the state, the little town of Lenore.
Mm.
And if you go in the downtown, they've done a lot, but a lot with the area, and there's all this really cool artwork in the downtown part of Lenore. But you do feel like, it does seem to be something weird here. Like, for example, I believe that's the town with the famous keyhole house. Mm-hmm. Of course, the house is not there anymore. Many, many years ago, there was this house with a window in the shape of a keyhole. It was at the top of the house. Well, why would you put a keyhole window? The reason being is the theory was if you put it in the shape of a keyhole, that allowed the evil spirits to go out of the house. They'd vanish through the keyhole. You never wanted to trap the ghosts within the house.
So they would go out through the keyhole.
So they would go through the keyhole.
Okay. Because they can't use doors.
The house burned, but they saved the keyhole. And believe it or not, it is part of the sign for this church that is there today.
Okay.
The sign is in the shape of that keyhole. It is, in fact, that very keyhole that had been in the old haunted house.
Wow.
Isn't that weird?
That's so weird.
Yeah,
that's
so why, many great
that's
stories.
Why we wanted to have you on here, because you're just a wealth of knowledge.
Yeah.
And also, the fair's coming up, and the fair is one of your, like, busy times of the year.
You know, I love the fair. A lot of people don't like the fair because of the crowds and is, you know, can get kind of dirty and all that kind of stuff. Man, I love the state fair because everywhere you look, there's a story.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's it's perfect for the Tar Heel Traveler because it really is.
Yeah.
I mean, you spend just about every day at the fair.
I do. I'm there every weekday.
I love it. How do you find your story ideas at the fair?
Oh, my gosh. How do you not find a story?
Really? How do you find a story you haven't covered? Because I feel like there's so many you've already covered.
2,000, yeah.
Yeah.
There are.
It seems like
at the fair you've covered so many, I feel
like.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's interesting. I have this this tradition I do. Kind of the one of the first days of the fair, I will simply just walk the midway. I'll just walk around, and I'll look around, and I'll be like, ah, that's a story I haven't done. That's a story I haven't done. Mm-hmm. Of course, this year I'm already planning a couple of stories about vendors, and it's their 60th year
at the fair.
Or you always find out about people who, that was their first date, was at the state fair.
Aww.
And then they end up married, and of course they return to the state fair every year. Oh my gosh, there's just so many things. I remember thinking about the marquee at the fair, and I was like, well, gosh, I wonder who operates the marquee. Well, I found out about that story, and that person has a interesting story in their own right. Oh my gosh, the color, all the colors in the different places, and you never run out of story ideas at the fair.
What about the food? We just got the food list in the past week to find out what's going to be new at the fair. Are you excited about any of the food items? I mean, we've got, what is it, the red velvet cheese enchilada funnel cake, which is a combination that we never asked for. And apparently it's something we didn't know we needed. But maybe it'll be great. You just don't know.
There are all kinds of crazy concoctions, food concoctions. Mm-hmm. I do try to watch my...
I was going to ask. I was like, do you eat at the fair? Because if you're there every weekday, and you know, that could be kind of dangerous.
You walk around, you get
and
hungry.
And you smell it. You smell the
you
food.
You smell it, and you're like, oh, that looks...
Oh, that, yeah.
The deep fried butter starts to look real appetizing.
Do you allow yourself to indulge on any items at the fair?
You know, I guess I'm kind of boring. I really like the plain old ham biscuits.
Oh,
well.
I usually go to the church.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they have some great food, especially like the biscuits. And then you find out about these volunteers who are like out there every day. And, oh, well, the reason I volunteer is because my mom volunteered. And she's been a member of this church for 65 years. Oh, my gosh. I just found myself another story.
Yeah. I love to go deep fried. You have to get at least one deep fried candy bar, I think, while you're there.
Yeah, you have to splurge. You got to get the old chicken leg.
Yeah. You even make a chicken leg sound interesting. Like chicken leg.
Chicken leg. Oh, I love the Barkers, they call them.
Great.
Oh, they are fantastic.
The Barkers are fantastic.
You go by the games, though, and the Barkers get mean.
They do get mean. Like, they're like, I can guess how much you weigh. I know how old you are.
First off, I weigh nothing, and I am ageless.
Right.
Yeah.
We don't get to bring that up in public.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, and they really shame you, too, sometimes.
I love the fair. And it's really, I have always get the same feeling on the final day of my duties. Because it's the same thing. I will be leaving the midway. It'll be my, like, final walk. I'll be walking down the midway. I will have done all my stories. And And I always turn back and I look. I just look and I see the Ferris wheel going and the rides are going. And there's maybe the last weekend left. But for me, it will be, I will have filed my final story. And there is like a little tug on my heartstrings. But there's always next year.
There's always next year. There's always next year. You can tell a story, can't you? You really can.
Oh, I love a story. I never get tired of a good story.
It is beautiful. I mean, the fair is so much fun. And they got that new Ferris wheel that's like giant.
Yeah, I've heard about it. Yeah, that's this year.
Yeah, we're going to get to ride that at Media Day.
Yeah, that might be another story.
So yeah, that's another story. You can get on there. And
yep.
I just love that you have so many stories to tell and so many more in your filing cabinet that are still waiting to be told.
10,000 left to go.
I love it. Well, thank you so much for joining us. And I feel like, I need to go back and watch all of these Tar Heel Travelers. So we're going to be posting the links for all of those. So you can go back and you can kind of see the Keyhole House or see the Pink Lady or even the State Fair stuff, because you've done some great stuff at the fair. And if people see you at the fair, they need to say hi.
Oh, yeah.
They got to say hi, because you'll be out there the entire time, every weekday pretty much, doing stories.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll have my Tar Heel Traveler books, too.
Oh, yeah, the books, too. I wanted to mention that. You're also an author.
I've as a matter of fact, it's funny we're talking about this. I've written 4 Tar Heel Traveler books, and the fifth one, I just put the final period on it. And I'll be sending it to my publisher on Friday.
Nice.
And that book, yet another Tar Heel Traveler book, that one will hit the shelves in May of 2020.
Wow.
Can you believe it?
I can't believe how much you've done. This is so much fun.
Well, that's a testament to what a great state North Carolina is.
Thank you so much for joining us. And we're going
to
put all the links in there. People can
here.
Follow up and they can check out the stories. And we'll put a link so they can find out more about your books. And thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Really,
it's nice to get you when you're actually at the station.
Thanks, Ashley. Great to see you,
you're
Kathy.
You're so busy all the time. So it's great we were able to grab you when you're not out and about doing all of your stories.
It's a privilege.
So this has been the Out and About podcast, a production of Capital Broadcasting Network and CBC New Media. If you like what you heard, hit that subscribe button. You can share it with your friends. You can tag us on social media, WREL Out and About, and make sure to check out the Tar Heel Traveler. And if you see us at the fair, make sure you say hi, because we're always at the fair, too. I feel like I'm there constantly. I feel like I live at the fair as well. That's the time I see you the most, is at the fair. Because I'm usually running around and trying to do whatever story you're not working on. I'm trying to find a web version of that.
You'll probably see me with a ham biscuit or maybe a chicken leg.
Yes, and if you see him, make sure you get him a ham biscuit. If he doesn't have a ham biscuit, get the Tar Heel
Traveler.
Yeah, make
sure he's fed. He's hard at work getting these stories.
Get him some crack and cheese stuffed turkey legs. All right, guys, have a wonderful week. We will see you next week.